Welcome to another episode of the Split Screen Podcast. My name is Shah Shaheed. I am your host and producer, as well as a freelance writer, Bollywood blogger, and a filmy father. On this episode of the Split Screen Podcast, we're going to be doing a very spoiler-filled review for the latest original Indian series on Netflix, The Fame Game. The show itself is sort of like Madhuri Dixit's big comeback to the streaming screen. It stars Madhuri Dixit in the title role, along with Sanjay Kapoor, Manav Kaul, Rajshree Deshpande, followed by other supporting actors such as Gagan Arora, Lakshveer Saran, Muskan Jaffrey as well. The show comes from the creator Sri Rao. It's written by Shreya Bhattachari, Akshay Gildal, Amitav Vyas, Nisha Mehta as well. The show itself is all about sort of a very sort of famous Bollywood actress who goes missing, and sort of the police investigation into her missing, into her sort of disappearance that leads to all these other secrets coming out, the nastiness of the family dramas, the issues, the histories, which is a great premise. It's a great show, at least in that regard. My full thoughts coming soon. But the thing is, when it comes to topics like this, you know, the inside lives of Bollywood stars and celebrity culture and things like that, I'm not really that well versed in it. You know, I follow the movies, I'm all about the movie industry, but, you know, if you take a look at the episode I had with the Fabulous Lives of Bollywood Wives, I'm sort of uneducated when it comes to that aspect of celebrity and sort of the film industry, the Bollywood star culture of it all. So I needed help to review The Fame Game, because I didn't think I could do it properly, given my limited insight into that world. So for that reason, on this show, we've got two guests joining me to sort of educate me on these aspects of the Bollywood culture. Joining me today on this episode are the hosts of Jab We Pod, Rim Jim and Priley. Together we review the show, and these guys are great. You have to check out their podcast. Links will be in the show notes of this episode. It is Jab We Pod. It's sort of everywhere where podcasts are available. And their show is great because it gives you an amazing balance of like actual movie news, you know, breaking down the Bollywood industry, trailers, movies, things like that, but also sort of a nuanced take on the Bollywood gossip culture of it all, which, you know, over the years I've softened to, you know, before I'd be like, blah, 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 gossip. But there is definitely a niche for it in the industry. So take a look at this episode with Rim Jim and Priley from Jab We Pod as we review The Fame Game on Netflix. Coming up right after this.
Guest appearance too, so
look at
Jumpy
that.
Pod is excited to be here.
Today's a day for firsts. Here we go.
So many firsts.
So many firsts. Well, this is my second time on your pod. A lot of people do not know this.
Yes,
but we did record, and I think it was to whatever that the footage was scrapped shot.
Yes,
so it never made it.
File got
I never
corrupted.
Made it to the final cut, you know. So yeah, I'm back again.
Yeah, that's right. This is your first official time. The other time, and this is sort of when my podcast stalled, probably because you couldn't make it on, right? Bad woman, right? Is that what it is? But yeah, you were on for Ek Ladki Ko Dekha To Aisa Laga. We did a whole thing.
Yes, I
had a whole thing sent up. We recorded like some video as like marketing and promos. And then when we recorded and I was editing, the file was so bad. Like I couldn't salvage any part of it. Like there's bits where like the sync was off. It was just so bad. And I remember I told you, I'm like, I'm so sorry. It didn't work out.
Yeah, you did.
It was shitty. It was really shitty. Oh, by the way, you can swear on this show as much as you want. That's a new thing.
She keeps me on a quality control, so I cannot swear on our pod. I'm not allowed to. So Rim,
I mean, you absolutely can, but I think sometimes your thoughts and your thinking, they go beyond a certain level. We all know that. I'm not, you know. So sometimes I just have to bring
Rolls
you back.
Eyes.
Yeah.
She's not censoring the swear words, probably. That's not what she's trying to censor on your show. Okay. It's literally everything else is what it sounds like. Is that right, Rim? Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. He knows that.
But you guys are doing great, lady. Though. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm the most proper, well-behaved person that I know of. We can't think of someone else, you know? I don't know what you guys are talking about. I'm so well-behaved. I've never had a bad thought.
That people heard out loud, right?
Is that people have heard out loud.
Is that the caveat? Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you guys liking podcasting, though, so far?
It's fun. It's fun, but it's a lot of work that we did not realize. It's a huge undertaking that Brim can speak to, right? I did not think it was going to be that much work. And we have our work split in the half, like right exactly. But so that's the only reason we're able to get our pods out like weekly by weekly. But like there's a whole lot of process that goes. There's so much prep going on. So, you know, there's that. But that's one part of it. The second part of it is really fun. I feel like we get to channel all this energy that we have for film and just Bollywood in general. So, you know, all that energy is being channeled somewhere now. And I'm just glad there's a product that exists where all of this goes to, that, you know, later in life, I can go back and review it. I'm just glad it's happening. I'm just trying to live in the moment as much.
Going back and revisiting your thoughts from the past does have some downsides as well, because you go back and you're like, I said that? I thought that? Holy shit.
Yes.
Rim, who does what? What are your roles? Not to do a double entendre.
So, I mean, I think like sort of like with filming, it's sort of a three-part process, right? You have the pre-production, the actual recording, which takes the least amount of time probably, and then the post, right? And so the research work, like I think Riley's great, like his background knowledge, it's kind of like a little digging through a little encyclopedia, and you know what, he puts on a certain image of like being dumb, being a little bimbo, but he's so knowledgeable. And so, you know, I make sure we take that out and he's able to put an analytical filter on everything, and then we record, and that takes probably like an hour and a half, and then I'll do the post, which takes me like 4 to 6 hours. It just depends, you know, on what we're trying to take out. Sometimes, you know, it's really unfiltered, so I just have to take it all out. So, but yeah, it's been good so far.
What I'm hearing is that you do most of the work, basically, is what I'm hearing.
Oh my god, she does. I can testify to that. I just sit there and look pretty. That's all.
No,
the editing, is a lot of work. It is a lot of work. Like this is the fun part, right? It's just afterwards when you're alone and you've got the thing up and you're like, oh my god. And then in the beginning, you're right, absolutely, in the beginning I painstakingly edited out every you know, I would go over the same, did this thought make sense, was this coherent, you know what, I'm like, I'm taking it out. And I've gotten to the point now where it's like I'm in like my fuck it phase. That's become a thing I've been hearing recently. So like, I'm going to be 40 soon, so I'm just going to call this my fuck it 40s, or approaching my fuck it 40s. And I just don't care anymore. I'm like, you know what? If I sound stupid, that's fine. Odds are if I sound stupid, like that's because I am, and other people on my show are smarter than I am. That's usually like the brutal truth of it, right? So it's fine.
And I feel like that's most podcasters. I've been listening to podcasts since the COVID year, 2019. I used to go on my little mental health walks and just listen to podcasts, because like listening to music became a little bit, you know, repetitive, jarring. And so I've just been observing. I'm like, you know, it's not so controlled. The content is really free reign. Like people just say whatever. Sometimes I was listening to this podcast 2 days ago, I think, and we do that clap too. And Shah, you taught me that clap to get the tracks connecting. Some people do not even cut that out. I swear to God, they leave that in there.
Oh, shit. Okay.
And then I saw the number of listeners and like the subscribers, and it was like, I was like, wow, like nobody is fazed by it. So like, it's fun. The world of podcasting is not fazed by the perfection that we see on like film, right?
Where everything has to be like near perfect. It sounds to me like you got into podcasting for the same reason I did. You heard a bunch of people and you were like, I could do that better than them. What the fuck? Like, and that's literally how I did. I heard a bunch of guys do Bollywood podcasts. None of them were good enough. Some of them were like in America from like a, you know, like an extension of like a local broadcast TV. And it's like, you know, some ABCD is going, let's do a Bollywood show. And now I'm like, I could do this better than them. And then coincidentally, other people did it better than me. So now I'm like, all right, well, I just fucking do whatever I want.
You do a great job. Let me just add that in there.
I appreciate that.
And it doesn't pay me to say that.
yeah, your check is in the mail. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Good job. Thank you. That's one of seven for the show. Okay, just keep
adding. A few more zeros on there for me having said that. But
I'm a podcaster. I don't have any zeros to add there. Okay.
Maybe in the beginning, not at the end. You can add them in the beginning.
So our original sort of story is that we were just chatting on the phone, like we were just catching up, and then we would have like these hour-long conversations about Bollywood, and that's what it really stemmed from. We're like, oh, like this could be podcast. Yes. Like people would want to tune into this type of stuff, like why not? Yeah. And then I said it enough times to where like Riley was like, you know what, you've said it so many times, like why don't you make it like a reality? And so 2022 we just like set out, like, all right, like let's do it. We didn't know the word,
we
but,
just
like,
did it. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, we just, no, that's like, awesome. You talked about this enough times, like, it's go time.
Yes, it's been exasperated enough. And let me tell you, the day, so Rim and I come from two different worlds of Bollywood, right? We're two very different audiences. I like the juicy, salacious gossip, glamour, all the bad stuff. You know, she goes into, like, the technicalities, the direction, write-in, pre-post. She loves all that, like, the aesthetics, right? So like whenever we would interact, it would almost be like an insight into each other's world. So like we were catching up just like on life, how life has been and whatever. And I was telling her this gossip that has been, you know, going on, and like layers and layers of this gossip, because it had been going on for a while and she had zero clue about it. She did not know, not even the surface level. And she was like, you know what? She just had like a eureka moment. And she was like, you know what? I've been thinking all this time, this could have just been a podcast and people would have loved it, because, you know, people are coming from outside in and they would listen to you and like all that you have to say, like not just the gossip, not just the reporting part, but you have your own layers to add. And that's how WPod was born.
That's honestly, like, I think the best ideas come from that attitude of like, hey, this could be a thing, or like, why not? Right. And I'll be honest with you. Like, I think Raymond and I can relate, because I'll be honest, like, probably you have like a huge sort of Twitter demographic following. And when you or Sal tweet, you know, I'll support, you know, I'll like that tweet 90% of the time. I don't know what the fuck y'all are talking about. I won't even, I'm like, I don't know what this is in reference to, but like, yeah, I guess I'll like it. I'll support these guys. That's
Sal's vocab is so above my head. I'm like trying to make out all the thoughts like in a coherent way.
But that girl doesn't do punctuation, so I'm just like, I have to like reread it like four times. I'm like, I get it. Okay.
Yeah, my friend calls her a word salad. He's like, your friend Sal, like word salads that she puts out, and just they're like so cryptic. I'm trying to make out, like half the time, half the DMs that I get are like, okay, like a direct message tweet linked to me. Right. They're like, what is this about? Now, what is this about now? And I'm like, wow, like this should be a job. I should be the Pinkwilla, the blind resolver. I should be there right in. Okay, like this is we're talking about. So like Rajiv Masin's old job.
Have like a Stan account for both of you, where you literally like quote retweet each other with like the layman explanation of what, like a translation almost, where it's like her dress was bad, that's what that meant. It's like, oh, okay, cool, I understand, why not just say that?
No, that'd be slandering. We would get in trouble for that.
Over the years, it's gotten so controversial. Even the little stands, like the mid-tier actor stands, they get so exasperated. They live in my mentions for days, even if I say the slightest of like the meanest thing. So I really have to, you know, shield my criticism. I have to lace it in and like put something nice in there. So the thing that I've recently
and make
learned,
it incomprehensible for anyone else to understand what the fuck you're saying.
That is basically it. But there will be six
people
that get it.
It works.
Yes.
Especially when now when you and Sal start talking to each other, I'm like, this thread it just seems like a cat going at like a keyboard. I'm like, I don't understand any of these words. I don't even know what they're talking about. I literally have to like go to like Sam or someone or like our other Twitter mutuals and be like, can you explain what's happening? Like I'm so lost. Like I'll get like one word like affair, and I'll be like, oh, this sounds juicy. Can you explain
fair.
What this is or what this is about?
Yeah, I'll explain. Period.
How do you guys balance your show though, from the juicy gossip to like, I know you guys said probably you're doing the goss and Rim, you're taking care of the more nuanced Bollywood conversation. How do you guys balance it out, like from getting too much of one or the other?
I think for the main part, for the first three, we've been pretty much focused on movie and reviews. Like, we want to make sure that our audience feels like we have something intelligible to, you know, communicate and say. And we've built in a little segment for Priley as well to, you know, share some of the things. But, you know, I think, like, relying on controversies or having shady topics is probably not the way to go to, like, you know, build certain trust within audiences. Like, I know people in the past have tried that with certain podcasts, and, like, we don't want to get nasty. We enjoy film so much that we want to, you know, make our joy visible to others, right? Priley, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think the love for film was the first and foremost priority, just to transfer that and translate that. I do have a love for gossip. I love it. I live for it. And so, you know, I was given that little segment to be like, okay, there you go. Go exhaust your energy. It's like letting the kid out in the afternoon to, like, go play. It's very that. Or taking your dog out. Just like they're tired when they, you know, come back, like taking them for a walk. So like they do.
Oh, so that's the trick, Arim. You give him space that to just go off about his stuff. Yes. And then you trick him with the, now, how did you feel about the movie? And then he gets all nuanced and interesting.
I mean, we had discussions about the name of that little segment too, and we went back and forth. You really want to share
the names that I suggested? Oh my God. She was not happy with. And at that point, I was like, it's me who just is too camp for my own good, or it's just that she's not getting it. Like, she laughs at my jokes. She enjoys half of me. But, like, what is it? Like, we cannot seem to come to an understanding.
You want to share what they were?
Yeah, let's do, like, a split screen exclusive. Give me the ones that didn't make it. And then finally, tell us what you settled on.
Okay. Well, the number one that I really wanted was for it to be called the Heroine Podcast. So, like, in Hindi, they say heroine, like film ki heroine, right? Mm. So I was referring back to that. But then there's, you know, because we're Western and we're in North America. So, like, the double entendre then becomes heroine the drug. And Rem did not want to be associated with that. I would have absolutely zero qualms about that, I don't party. But so that was number one. Number two was
this is for Noggin? The whole pod. This is not just for his segment. What was Noggin's corner?
The Noggin's podcast. Oh. Yes.
Oh, okay.
That's very niche. Which I don't think I it has really very in. Positive connotation outside
he had
of his
a full fight about that.
Following.
I mean, I can
took
see
it personally at one point.
I can see if you wanted to avoid being nasty, how naming yourself after a poisonous snake might not be the way to
does
go.
Does not help. Yeah, unfortunately.
I do think you would have gotten some success with the heroin. But I feel like you'd have an audience that was very confused, because they would come for something and they'd be like, when are they going to talk about how to cook it? Like, why are we talking about songs and dancing and Indian stuff? Like, where are we getting to the heroin? A lot of listeners initially, like, but then people would get confused.
People tuning in would be like, what is this sitar music? What is this Indian music going in that I usually hear?
Is dharma a new kind of drug? Is that a new on the streets? What is dharma?
People would have loved, they would eat.
But yeah, and with that one, I thought that people would mainly expect like a super feminine take on just about everything, right?
Right.
Yes,
and
that was that.
I felt like that would have kind of boxed us in maybe a little bit. Like, we couldn't talk about all things. Like, I think people would have expected us to break down like only women as protagonists or like women as villains, right? And right. So this way we can talk about like all the nuanced things, right? I know feminism is intersectional, but I just thought that having just heroin wouldn't have been, you know. So, and I think Jubwe Review was something that I wanted to have for myself for a really long time. Hmm. And so Riley was like, okay, well, how about we do Jubwe Pod? And that's how it, you know, came about. I would say Jubwe Met is definitely one of my favorite films. So here we are.
Lived with me.
I feel like I need to let you know that you need to like buy the domains for every like Jubwe blank possibility. Jubwe blog, Jubwe tube, if you want to go to YouTube, just do it all. That way you have it. Because that's great. It's such a good idea.
I hope he does not.
His daughter studies in school right here at Chapman. I live pretty close to, it's, you know, Southern California. It's where all the cool kids come to study, you know? So
I see her. So just in case he sues us, we can go to her. We can go and see
her. Yeah, her and Alia.
Yeah, I think Alia's gonna be here. I think they'd be flattered.
Okay.
Unless you get bigger than them, and then you just sell it to them, and they just buy you out, and then you're fine.
Hey, I want a little part. You know, I want to be like a little assistant director to him. It's all out of admiration, honestly. So
yeah,
no, I just want to marry him. I'm just gonna be like, hey, if you're so hot and bothered, let's get married. I'm gonna be Riley Ellie, and you get my pod. You get whatever. Let me record my little pod with my friend. You know, if you're That's so funny. Hot, if you're gonna be so hot and bothered, just take the name and give me yours. You know, it's ready that.
I do like the name though. I think the name is like genius. I think it's like Aww. You know when they talk about like no one knows what the fuck my show is. It's like Split Screen. It's like what is this? What is this for? But I like that you guys have this name, which is instantly Bollywood. It's instantly a podcast. Like. You know, and those that know. And also, I mean, not to get too controversial, but for like the non-Bollywood people, it's short enough and easy enough to pronounce. So it's not too complicated.
Yes. Less syllables. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. For sure. So it's easy. Yeah. Perfect. All right. Well, thank you guys for deciding to come on here. So going with the theme of, you know, the blend of your show that, you know, sometimes, you know, you got some trash content, then you got the nuanced stuff. I feel like the show we're talking about today is going to have a bit of both. Right. Like, it is, like, trashy nuance, or nuanced trash. I don't know whichever trash. Way you want to go.
You just call me trashy. Oh, wow. Okay.
Not you, the show.
I guess.
Mothery's not going to be happy with that. I know Sanjay for a fact. Sanjay Kapoor does not like associating himself with such things.
He was in the Bollywood Wife show, right? So he clearly does. So
that's I will tell you, they know. Touché. Yeah, they wouldn't like you classifying their show with lowbrow humor or like, you know.
If they were going to come out, is this why you decided to come here and do it instead of on your show? Because you're like, we'll just talk shit on his show. So if anyone gets in trouble, it's him and we're fine. Right?
Yeah, for all the legal trouble.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll do it. I don't care. Like I said, fucking 40s. Bring it on.
Trashy. Let's just call it campy. I think, you know, I think it was done well enough that it just jumps the shark just enough so it's like camp, you know? And I think the show itself was not camp. The little song, was, my God, that defined. It's just what we needed. That song gave me everything I needed, and it kept me fed for days, you know? So
I feel like that's Madhuri's genre, though. Like,
yeah.
With the ba in Kalunk and, like,
yeah,
like I think like she could do very similar styles and we would just eat it all up, you know.
We're supposed to, and we should. It's just she's like that heroine who like she would either do this introductory number or the mid-interval number or the post the end credits, like the climax number, and be like the main girl. It's like the main girl energy that we've been missing. And, you know, it was only Madhuri who could come back and give that to us. So I think it has to do with that. And they had like a Vabu Merchant choreograph this like after forever, which I thought was just all sorts of perfect. Apparently, and I have no way to confirm this because this is just like things that I've heard. They wanted to bring back the same energy as like Aja Nachlai and like recreate that, but with like a new number, like a little modernized. So they had the same people come back choreograph the sequence, write the song, and like have it just be like, it was going to be much shorter in the beginning, and then it's like a full-fledged number. And I think now that they realize the power of it, that they're trying to come up with like cameos and like so many versions of it, right? Like we've seen so many male actors have been brought into the number with like cameos. I don't know when the full length song comes out, but it was sure exciting to watch. Sorry, I just talked about the song for like too long now. Let's move on.
I think your thoughts on the song is sort of the song itself, in my opinion. And mm-hmm. I think the song is emblematic of the problems I had with this show, where it's Madhuri. You're expecting some iconic greatness happening. But I think the song, like the show, we didn't get what is worthy of Madhuri. The entire show, the writing and everything else, to me, was like, it didn't do, like, she deserved a lot more. I think the whole thing underserves her debut on the streaming platform. I think it could have been much better. I think there could have been so much more. And to me, again, and that's just my opinion, I'm dying to hear what you guys have to say. I'm hoping I'm not the catty one on this version of this discussion, you know, in a conversation with Pryly. I don't want to be the catty one. I'll start off with you. What were your thoughts?
I think that it was a valiant attempt. Like, I'm not going to undermine it because, like, I see what they were trying to do. They were trying to, like, layer it in, but it wasn't quite there. I think the first four episodes for me flowed quite well, and then the last four, it just felt like it was turned into this mystery, which just dragged on, and, like, this other little side story about the super fan. And then I think every character had, like, their own narrative or interaction with her, but it just felt like it lacked significance. Like, I don't know, you know, like where she was so broken in her relationship, but it didn't represent this, like, overall, like, I understand maybe, like, she didn't have, I think what they should have maybe emphasized on was like her inability to be independent, right? She was working since she was very, very young, right? And like, maybe they weren't as cohesive in what they were trying to convey through all the different narratives. It just wasn't layered enough for me. So that was my take initially.
Yeah, I do think they had a pretty decent story to begin with, like an escape drama, mystery, thriller. But then I think during the whole process, it was just trying to add a little bit of spice to it for the Indian audience. I do think it works for a certain audience. I do enjoy that kind of content sometimes, like something a little bit ridiculous, like Inventing Anna, which is so funny because, you know, these shows were, they came out about the same time, Inventing Anna. This Fame Game was called, previously was called Finding Anamika. And then there's another Finding Someone on Netflix too, like all of that. So like all these similar-ish kind of shows about like women just really going into their lives and these two word titles. So I think Fame Game kind of, for me, it does stick out. I don't know why, but like the whole trajectory of like the streaming shows on OTT, this show did stick out to me, and I've not been able to put a finger on it, but it does. It just works.
Okay.
But okay. I also get why it wouldn't work for you, right? But I can't, thinking back to the times where Madhuri did Ananjam, which was supposed to be this really serious thriller, right? It's very that. But even that, when you go back and watch it, it's very camped up. It's kind of funny now, going back and watching it, right?
Sure.
It's not very serious. The treatment is very masala, if you may, for the lack of a better word.
Okay. So I'm getting the sense that just taking the temperature here, Rim, you had some issues with it. Probably you seem to be tipping over into the like zone a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm going to really hold back just because I think I'm on the totally
please
other side
do
of
not.
You guys.
No, please do not.
I mean, again, and so far, you know what? And we did a great job right now. I didn't even do a spoiler warning, so I'm really glad that we kind of kept it pretty spoiler free. But I think we're going to get into some spoilers now. So I want to talk about the specific sort of likes, dislikes that we had with the show. For me personally,
yeah,
I'll get into some more details later on, but there was a lot happening. And not everything had a payoff. like, there's a lot in the show that, like, I understand the attempt and I understand what they were trying to go for. It to me felt like a mishmash of all the other great streaming shows we've gotten. You know, you've got like the Made in Heavens and the sort of Aranyaks on Netflix. Like, it was like a lot happening all at once, and none of it had a payoff to me. The thing with the sun, again, no payoff. The thing with the super fan, no payoff. The whole twist at the end, you know, and again, last spoiler warning, the whole twist in the end where that it is her orchestrating her own kidnapping for, I still don't know what really, like, we didn't get what the plan was at the end, what the reveal was before they did that last twist where the daughter's like, fuck you, mom. And I'm just like, wait, what was the pre-plan before the, like, I didn't understand. The fact that, you know, like Sanjay Kapoor, the fact that she didn't hook up with Manav Kaul's character in the past 20 years ago didn't make sense. Her mom's whole thing was success, success, success. So why would you not let her marry the hottest star and become a power couple? Why would you let her marry your no-name nephew producer? Like, there's so much in this show that I'm just like, the show ended and I'm like, I don't get it. So, Rim, did you come across these issues at all? Like, did you find these inconsistencies? Did they bother you, or were you just like,
yeah, I'm into it? That's where the lack of cohesiveness exists, right? Like, the payoff, like you mentioned, it's just not quite there. And I think, like, maybe they were trying to combine too many of these, like, fictionalized story, but also, like, nonfiction stories that happen in the world of Bollywood. But they were just, so there were no ins and ends. Like, you know, like, they didn't tie the threads at the end, which made it really not fun to watch, you know, overall. Like, you have a show like Patal Lok, which is like all sorts of like mishmash literally to the last episode. Then you start to see, and even then you don't make complete sense of everything, but at least like throughout the show you understand, like, there's so many overarching themes that exist, right, about like humanity or like this type of intersectionalism or like, you know, what's going on. And, you know, not everything needs to be that deep, but like the level of connection to the audience was not made, I feel. You know, it was written in a very niche group or niche setting, and it just didn't click. But the parts that did stand out, they did stand out, you know? There was some vibrancy to, like, being a superstar, and that's what Mads represents, right? And so I think that's what, like, Priley also took away, probably, right? And there was representation, which is great. We don't really see that.
For me! And, like, yes. Well, no, I will be saying... I feel like a lot of what Fame Game was got lost in the translation. It seemed, like Rim said, it felt too inspired, and it reminded me of something my a professor said to me in like art school when I was going to like art school. They said, you know, when you try to achieve a whole lot of everything, eventually you're gonna get nothing. Eventually, right, it's nothing. If something is a lot of things and it can mean anything, it means nothing. So, you know, it's kind of meta. I say that because, you know, the getting yourself kidnapped, then doing the reveal is very Gone Girl. It's that, I mean, that's where it comes from. I didn't see it happening too much in the cinema. And like, since there's like, you know, I feel like after that movie, there's just been a trend, an ongoing trend. It still happens, right? So I think it was that. I'm just going to have to say it because I can. The story of Anamika, who is Madhuri's character in the movie, it seemed inspired by other actresses from the past, specifically, I've just been told not to say it. So no. I'll leave that for you to guess.
Hey, I'll leave that not for everyone cool. Else no, watch. No, come on. I'm learning. I have no idea what you're even referring to. So, no, go ahead.
Okay. Spill.
So... Yeah. It's only because I've been following Tree Baby from the time that I was 6 years old, right? So her on and off screen life. So like ever since I was a kid leading up to my teen years, all I thought of Tree, sorry, I'm just going off a little bit here. But all that I knew of her life was like, oh, glamorous, like huge heroine, superstar, you know, was able to upsell all these movies and like do these great dance numbers, like vibrant, funny. But then after my teen years, I kind of realized she was none of that. Like she was all that, but she was a really quiet, introverted person who had all these life issues. She had, you know, so many tragedies in her life. And, I feel like that was, they were trying to replicate that in the show.
I was actually going to ask you about that because like I said, I'm not too ingrained on like the the behind the scenes of Bollywood to know, to get a lot of these references. To me, it was odd that you had Sanjay Kapoor playing the husband of like this superstar woman that like gets disappeared under like, and there's like foul play suspicions and all this other stuff. I remember, again, not to like disrespect what happened with Sridevi and everything else, I remember there were some like, you know, shitty Bollywood news shows that were like, you know, murder in Bollywood, some, you know, bullshit shit like that. And to me, it was very much like, is this intentional? Is this too subtle? Is there a connection to this depiction versus, you know, because again, I mean, Sanjay Kapoor's brother, essentially, like his sister-in-law, basically, right? So I thought that was a little odd, but am I wrong? Like, probably, did I just make that up, or is that, did you sort of pick up, was there some connections?
I did pick that up too, and I feel like they just took, the show and the makers took the artistic liberty. You know, they really used the fiction sort of background of the show to their advantage because they don't have to now justify anything. And I feel the conspiracy of Sridevi's death has been big enough that it's been looming around Bollywood ever since. I know someone in the South tried to make a movie about it with like her name in the title, and I think Boney sued them back or something. I don't know. That's not too sure.
I see that. I believe.
But
that.
I do see Sanjay's association with the script. I feel like, that's what I think.
He's also playing a producer. That to me was like a little like, oh, okay, that's not that far from home. But
it wasn't subtle at all. It's not subtle at all. I feel like it was definitely written into the script and the actors were made aware.
Yeah, because I remember I was watching that, did he shadow Bonnie for this role? Did he have to, like, learn from his bro how to, like, you know?
To prepare.
Right. I'm like, or is it just natural?
You know, I certainly don't necessarily want to get into, like, the hypotheticals because, it just kind of leads us down to a dangerous path, right? But I will say, when there is money on the table and
everyone grabs it.
By Karma, you have Madhuri there.
That's fair.
Like, why wouldn't Sanjay do the role?
Of course, totally. Yeah.
And so, money talks. Like, I don't think, like, he's going to turn down a role, particularly, if, you know, unless it's, like, a super insulting role.
Right.
Right?
Right. That's right. So I think if they did do that would have been an issue, I think. I think if they weren't as subtle about it, like I said, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, it's just like that. I don't think so at all, because there's enough differences to not make it that.
No.
But I also feel like, you know, not that angle, but I do feel like this show also had a lot of opportunities to go really Bollywood, to go really meta, go a little bit darker that they didn't really do. They kind of just, everything seems very superficial. Like, if you take a look at Bollywood movies, like, I love Bollywood content about Bollywood. AK versus AK, you take a look at Zoe Akhtar's first movie, Luck by Chance. Like, when they get cynical and dark and, like, you know, pessimistic about their own industry, to me, I love that. And that's what I wanted from this. I'm like, oh my god, you've got Madhuri playing a Bollywood superstar. This is going to be meta as fuck. But they didn't really take a lot of chances, right? Like, it was just, it felt superficial. It felt very surface. Like, I would have loved, like, an Anil Kapoor cameo. I think that would have been amazing, given their chemistry in the past. And I was like, oh my god, Sanjay Kapoor's in the show. You were definitely, and Anil Kapoor's like a Netflix guy. You know, he's done all this Netflix stuff. He's definitely going to have, like, some sort of, and it's like, we didn't get anything like that. Like, there were so many opportunities for, like, meta Bollywood sort of commentary or like cameos to make this show a little bit more amped up that I feel like were wasted opportunities, and then all the other issues that we talked about already.
So, you know what
I hear, I hear you
missing, kind of based off of what you're saying, is like, this was content based on industry, right? And they didn't have enough industry content. They didn't have enough like auditions or like the relationship that exists between like producers and directors, right? It was very much like surface level, like on
behind the
scenes. It wasn't like very industry related trouble, so we couldn't see how her daughter was really struggling. I mean, we did see scenes here and there, but like we didn't see enough of that, I feel, right? To justify that. And then like the other, like the love lines can play alongside it, but they didn't have a strong core. Like, for example, you take something like Inside Edge, very heavy cricket, but they also intertwine stories really well, at least season two does, right? Around power, play, right? And you can take very niche based content like Free Even and like try to turn in, you know, love stories and this and that. But, you know, I don't think they focused enough on the industry here. Like you had mentioned, like Luck by Chance is chef's kiss, amazing. You know?
To me,
another.
Sorry, Pradeep, go ahead.
Sorry. Sorry. Another show that did that pretty successfully, I thought, was Sacred Games season one, who were not afraid to like show the darker side, show the knit and grit, and like show where some people have come from and make those direct, very straightforward references, but also stay in the safe realm with like fiction. This is fiction, guys. Anyone can do anything. Anyone can write anything, you know? Second of all, I feel like someone like Mallory, who's a huge star, she would not scribble on the paper just because it's a script from Dharma or it's a Netflix show, whatever. Knowing that this is fully about another rival superstar from her past, you know, and I feel like all these intersections is where it gets so meta. So like, it's almost meta in a theory and not so much in practice, right? Okay. So like, she's doing this show that's like kind of loosely inspired by like a rival from her past, who, you know, is still talked about. This conspiracy is still looming over. I feel like that is where adjustments were made, because this show fully took like 2 years to come out after it was produced, after it was shot. It wasn't released in the COVID years. It came out this year in, I think, February. Yeah, it came out in Feb or March. It was worked on. So I feel like the reason it felt a little bit disconnected would be that it would be just to tie all that in the last part of what we talked about. It did feel a little bit altered because of the presence of its main actors, you know?
Yes.
I would say that's how I felt. Yeah.
To me, the sort of like when you mentioned that, like, you know, it doesn't seem like it's industry specific, that my first indication of that was when the cops get involved. And they're digging into the finances of you know, the movie that, you know, Anamika and her husband is producing. And they seemed very surprised that, like, the records aren't accurate. And it's like, the black film financing money. Isn't. And exactly. Yeah. But it's like from like the 80s, you know, everything from Khal Naik to like any Ram Gopal Verma movie talks about the crime connections in Bollywood, and it's 2022 and the cop is like so shocked that like the accounting for the movie isn't proper. Like, do you not, why is this a surprise to someone who's like a cop in 2022 that, oh, Bollywood might be like a laundering situation, there might be black money involved, there might be corruption. Like, that to me was the first red flag, that does this show not know what it's trying to be? Because like, that's sort of common knowledge. So why is this so such a shock or a plot twist? They're like, oh, the books aren't matching. And it's just like, this is weird.
Yeah, that's not even like a layer one complexity, right?
Yeah, it's not a self-aware.
That's like that's a presumption usually. That's like the presumption that clearly the producer killed him for money. That's usually the go-to. But these cops seem so naive and like innocent that, oh my God, corruption in a Bollywood movie? That's crazy. And I'm like, are you... Do you watch Bollywood? Like, what is this? Why do I know more about this than you do?
Yeah, and the cop who was kind of trying to figure out, you know, do the little trail, and like, at first he seemed very disinterested about the whole thing, very like just didn't really want to engage.
Disconnected from Bollywood in general. She was not a fan. Yeah.
Yeah, and then later on she sees like this movie and she's like, from that one move she's able to do. I was like, this is lacking connection. Like, you're not connecting with her, you're not connecting as a cop with us. Like,
let's,
you know.
Yeah. Let's talk about that really quickly, because I want to talk about, first of all, I love that character. I love that actress. The best takeaways for me from this show is that character, her life, her characterization, her depiction. Like, you've got a middle class lesbian cop with a family and a kid. Like, to me, that's like, we haven't seen this anywhere, you know. And again, because the fact is, like, she's not like upper high class. She's not, you know, she's just like a middle class cop, and she's got like a family. She's got like a wife. And I'm like, this is amazing. But that didn't really factor into more of the show. But what I wanted to ask you guys, though, was about that aspect of the show. Near the last couple of episodes, the whole thing becomes like a PSA, like, poor stars, they're trying to give us entertainment, we should sympathize. Like, she becomes enamored and she's like, yes, she's giving us art to distract from our lives, she's doing a service. And it's just like, where did this come from all of a sudden? Like, where is this, like, connection to, like she's watching her movies, she's binging them, and she's, like, falling in love with entertainment and escapism. And I'm like, this is so out of left field. Probably,
yeah, the transition
how did you react
wasn't
to that?
There, right? Like,
yeah.
Like, you don't see the slowly, like, fall.
The slow burn, gradual burn, and yeah. Then, yeah. Exactly.
There was no preparation.
There's no foreshadowing.
Yeah. It's the writing, right? I'm not saying, like, the actress herself played a character like that, but it's just, you have to write that stuff in, like, you know, the slowly getting into it, but yeah.
And then someone writes the screenplay and they're the ones who decide how it's going to be translated on screen, right? So I feel like that's a bit of a gap there. Maybe a lack of communication. I don't know. Maybe they were away from working from home and COVID, not being able to connect. Maybe the Wi-Fi was bad. This is what I was going to say. I forgot.
Well, we can come back to it. No worries.
Sorry. I forgot your question, which was about... That it was trying to be like, it was not a self-aware show and it was in the end became something else, like a PSA. Okay, this is what I think. I feel like every single episode was a different theme. They were trying to tackle so much and juggle it all. And a lot of it does not make sense because there's not enough of a slow burn, as Rim said. There's no foreshadowing. So like we know for a fact that this was put in very last minute because you want a climax. You want this episode to end at a high note. So people tune into the next one. I feel like a lot of times binge TV works that way. So Shah, I don't think they were trying to make the show that like a very meta Bollywood show that's like that has so much quality and like is so pristine. I feel like the whole vibe of the show was like binge TV, like episode by episode, like watch it all in one sitting, and then we'll throw in a bunch of music in there and make some references that the really clever Bollywood fans are gonna get, but then some people are gonna learn it for the first time ever, you know, that oh, this happened. Right. So a lot of it, like I said, a lot of it got lost in the translation of the show.
That's fair.
That's what ended up happening in the fate of finding an amicat, which then became the Fame Game. You know, just the name, just that name suggests that someone very last minute came in and they were like, no, this is the show we're going to make. This is the name we're going to add.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know who that person is, but that definitely happened.
I also
want to talk about the end. Like, was it what you guys were expecting? Was it a complete deviation from what you were expecting? Did you get the payoff like you wanted to?
I feel it all felt too staged. You know, what they could have given us, because this was a mystery thriller, they could have given us little parts in like each episode as like slowly unfolding. I said, this is what led up to this. It was all too much. It was too much information. Towards the end, at that point, I was tuned out. I swear to God, that episode with the one that they were playing Holy, and she meets her stalker, the super fan, for the first time. The daughter meets the fan for the first time. No, I lost all interest there. I was like, I don't care what happened to her. I feel like she's gone. You know, whatever. I'll just see her in flashbacks. Like, good for Madhuri. Now this is a show that I want to watch. And then they ruined that too. that arc leading up to that, again, it felt a little inspired or too uninspired for the lack of, you know. I was not too happy. Because I was like, you know, you're just, again, the binge aspect comes into that is that they just wanted to leave it at a high note just for the second season to get green lit. They want to leave you on a cliffhanger. A lot of what, you know, the ABC Freeform shows used to do that I grew up watching. Guys, I survived 8 years of like Pretty Little Liars. You know, I was constantly worried about those girls, which was another like teen mystery drama of sorts. So... I had a little PTSD for that, which I feel like was triggered during the Fame Game. I think that was the treatment that was going into it, and they achieved it. Hey, they got green lit, right? The second season's coming out, I think. No, am I wrong? Okay,
I've heard
whispers.
Rim, to answer your question,
Rim, sorry, Rim.
nothing about this show paid off for me at all. There's so much, like it's almost like every scene for me goes in a certain direction and then stops and then starts a new thing. And then that goes on. You're like, okay, I see what's happening. And then they're like, nope. And then they go with like a totally different direction. Just again, really bullet points, some cool things. The son. So the son to me was like one of the best characters, and they do nothing. They give him like three different things to do, and none of it goes anywhere. So at first you've got the whole suicide attempt and the mystery around his, you know, sort of coming out. At the end with the friend, Summer or whoever it was, I forget, that relationship, that conclusion was really great, but it didn't make sense to me why he was so afraid. Because wasn't Billy gay? Wasn't her makeup artist gay? And they talk about the fact that he's been her makeup artist since he was 15. So it doesn't, like, I didn't understand, well, why didn't the son go to Billy and sort of like discuss these things with
him?
Because clearly the family's cool with it. The family knows, like, I think the first
no,
in the show,
they were not, though. No.
No, no, I'm saying with Billy. With Billy, I'm saying.
They were cool with him. Yeah, maybe.
Right.
But then again, he's an employee. He's like staff. He's not a part of the family. Like, maybe they're okay with an outsider being queer.
Right.
But they're not okay with their own son being queer.
Fair enough.
And like, that's maybe, like, I'm not defending, you know, the incompetent right in here, but I
hey you said it, not me. You said it, not me.
It is, and I still love that show. I stand by it. I feel like the son maybe knew, okay, my dad is a Punjabi, he drinks too much, he's a movie producer, and he's homophobic. Like, these are just things that are out there. He doesn't even have much of a relationship with his father. He has that with his mother, and even with Anamika, he's lost that relationship with her, and she asks him that, right? And she's like, yeah, you're away too much, you're filming too much, you're always working, so like, what do we have to show for it? You know,
it just didn't ring true to me too, because it's like, okay, so that paid off kind of nicely with his relationship with the boyfriend. I think that was really sweet. I'm like, okay, this is kind of cool. They're going to go to New York. They're going to live a happy life. Awesome. But then you have the thing that he's not really Sanjay Kapoor's son. And that reveal. And that he's Manav Kaul's son. But then Manav Kaul dies. And then Sanjay Kapoor has like this weird moment where he's like, yes, I will accept him as my son, because who else does he have now anymore? And I'm like, okay, so he'll never know that cool guy who showed an interest in his career and that farmhouse that one time is his fucking dad? Like, that seems weird that he'll never find that out. Okay, cool. I can let that go. Then you had the thing where he, for one scene, made friends with this hooker. So, with this, like, you know, escort or whatever you want to call it.
Sex worker, yeah.
And she was great. That actress was great. That performance was great. And I'm like, okay, I think I see what's happening. She's going to get him to accept who he is and, like, you know, and appreciate what he has. Nope. One scene,
the kind,
gone.
Courteous sex worker. Yeah, gone.
But she's gone after that one scene, and you're like, okay. Then you have that whole thing about, like, that gossip columnist who found out about the son's suicide attempt. And they spend the whole show going, did you find out who it was? Who leaked that story? And I'm like, the sex worker that he talked to about it, maybe? Like, why is this a
You're
like,
missing one.
Man.
There was one more. You're missing was that. There? I think it was...
did I not pay close enough attention to the show, probably? Is that what you're trying to tell me now?
You missed one more loose end.
Billy leaked him. Remember how Mads confronted him in the car when she was like, I need the camera.
So that
mystery did solve. But like, yeah, I mean, there were so many like loose ends that just didn't get
Billy
solved,
died.
Right?
No one gives a shit. Like, hashtag
no one cares.
Billy. What the fuck?
Dude, I was like, I think that was the character I was like really sad who passed away. You know, I know that.
He was
her closest confidant.
Her ride or die. Like, I mean, maybe not from her perspective, but he was definitely like, I will die for her, kind of a vibe. And then he does, and no one gives a shit. We don't come back to it. We don't ever talk about it. It's like, boop, done, let's move on. Like, what is this?
Which I'm going to tie back. No. Which let me tie back a little bit there.
Yeah.
That comes into what I said earlier about, like, the family and maybe Anamika not caring about Billy as a queer person because he's an employee, he's a staff. They do not care about him as a person. She was deeply affected when she finds out that this is the mole. This is the person who's been leaking my controversies, my news to the press. And it's just there. He's just gone like that. And even the same thing with the son. And I was not too happy. I was happy that she has a queer son and like Madhuri has been this omnipresent figure in the gay community. She's a gay icon of sorts. Well, she is, period. Who gets to have not only a gay son, but she gets to have a gay makeup artist and really be that person that gay people love, like a camp representation of it. And it doesn't pay off. You know, and then there's that scene with the son and the trans women, the hijras to the community that was also remiss. Yeah. Nothing happens with that. So they almost gave him, they gave him a lot to work with. And I feel like the actors they justified it with their performance, but then in the end, nothing connected. And
performances were great. I think that's something we can all agree on that. Regardless of the writing, I think everyone was like, awesome. Like, even Sanjay Kapoor doing the smarmy producer thing was like, yeah, I don't like you, bro, but that's kind of your job, so that's great. Like, I'm not supposed to like this character. The mom, God, like, love to hate her, you know? Everyone was great.
She's
the daughter,
so gorge, by the way.
The daughter story, the I mom, thought was very performative. That was really weird to me. Like, none of that resonated to me. Like, you're the superstar's daughter. You don't know not to have a mental breakdown in front of a room full of kids with cameras. Come on. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You're
like,
trying to cosplay.
And then you're shocked that you got caught on camera. Like, it's like, bro, like, you're...
Miss Girl, get a grip.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if you're trying to cosplay Janhvi Kapoor, at least do a little better.
Allegedly.
You know, I would do a better job. Allegedly.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
I really want to do, like, can you guys come back for the season 2 of the Bollywood Trash, the Bollywood Wives show? Because I just want me and probably to say, like, some fucked up shit about Bollywood and Rim to, like, lose her shit. Like, Rim just, like, flipping through papers going, I gotta disclaimer this, I gotta figure this out, oh my god, I gotta put out a statement here saying we're cool with this. Like, I think that'd be a fun show. I think let's just do that.
She's gonna be reacted for on the sets of Coffee with Tarn when someone was given that interview about Ranveer, just like being audacious, all sorts.
Not to date when we're.
I love Rhea. She's my favorite.
not to date when we're recording the show, but Rim's gonna be like Will Smith's publicist at the Oscars, basically.
No.
And then she's gonna become Will Smith himself and like slap me through the screen. I feel like that is gonna happen.
Can't. I have to remain respectable. I've met Sanjay Kapoor. I'm gonna be like a goody two shoes in case I have to come to
she
face
will
to face
turn
him
it
again.
Up.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
She's gonna be like, oh, okay, that podcast? But, no, honey. I was on mute the entire time.
To be fair,
she is that girl.
It's flattering to me that, Rim, you think anyone from Bollywood is listening to this piece of shit show. Like, that to me, thank you for assuming that.
Words get around. You don't know. People post on Reddit and it goes.
That's,
I'm here for it. Listen. Push from Reddit. Yeah. And someone's already tailing me, by the way. Let me tell you, some of my, not only my tweets, not just my tweets, but my likes end up. And this person who is stalking me, whatever, I'm just glorifying myself, they do not even bother to, like, crop me out of the screenshot. They just put that whole thing in there. And then I read some comments, they're like, who is this person? Is that a boy? Is that a girl? What is this? And I'm like, wow, look amazing. It's so funny to me. So that is going to happen soon, Shah. Once you get the Reddit boost, people are going to come for you. I'm warning you.
I feel like I'm going to get the Pryly boost, and I don't know if it's going to be good. But I might be messaging Rim going, what do we do, Rim? What do I do?
Oh, it was bad. Yeah, we're not proud of that decision. Why did we have him on?
Let's attempt, unlike the show, let's try to get back on track. We've got, so the performance, I want to talk about the performance really quickly before we wrap up. Manav Kaul, amazing actor, dies.
Manav Kaul dies
out of nowhere, like that whole his whole addiction bipolar thing again, no payoff, right? Like, he just wakes up one day. But what I liked about the show is that there's these random scenes which are like almost like award show clips. Like, if you just play that scene, people would be like, this is the best show in the world, but it's not. Like, his daughter, Manav Kaul's character's daughter, reacting to finding out that he's doing drugs again and going on that awesome fucking, like, monologue about, like, you don't know.
She went back to her boutique.
I've always been here for you, and now you don't care. You're hurting me. Like, that was such a powerful speech. And I wish the show earned it. Like, I wish they built up and created the character dynamics that we would watch that scene and be like, and feel for her and feel for him and sort of like be with them on that journey. We weren't. They didn't. Madhuri's speech about the sex worker, when she talks to the kid and he's like, where did you go last night? And then she has that whole thing about like, learn her name, respect her. Such an amazing scene, but like, is this a PSA for sex workers? Like, it's just so random that in this show to be there out of nowhere. The flashbacks to her childhood, like, there's so much in this show that I feel like it's like, you needed to do like a 20 episode season for all of this to organically make sense versus like, I don't know what it was, 8 episodes we got?
Yeah.
What did you guys like about the show? Is sort of my long workaround to this this question. What do we like about this?
I feel like that's
the apprehension, so the hesitation isn't good.
I'll let her talk first. Oh my God. Okay. So all arms are pointed at me. All fingers are pointed at me. What I did like about it is that it's an earnest attempt to make something that would work for an Indian audiences. You know, we see a lot of shows, and I'm just speaking from heart here, is, you know, yes, there's like good and bad TV. There's mid TV. There's really good TV. But there are some sensibilities that work for an Indian audiences, and I am sometimes that person, especially if people that I like, actors that I do admire, are connected to that project. I will watch it. If it's, honey, if it's Dharma, I'm watching. I'm there. You know, I'm in attendance. So that's one. I feel like they really got that right. Second of all, I loved the styling. And this is what I keep saying, is they really tried to put in some effort. And Sal was talking about this today, and her and I had a whole discussion about this, is that they brought in Anamika Khanna couture pieces in the show. And the titular character is, that's her name. Her name's Anamika. And then both her entry and her exit from the show is done in Anamika Khanna saris, you know? And then when it's passed over, when the sari is passed over to the daughter, then she puts that on the day to go see her mother, and then walk out of that garage in that same garment. So, you know, costuming, I guess, was done really well. I wish I Googled the name of the person who did it, who was responsible. Some of the clothing in the show was spectacular. It was beautiful. And it was, I feel like it was correct, because I've seen some videos on Madhuri's channel, her YouTube channel, and she does wear those simple cotton kurtis at home when she's just cooking with her husband. She does that, you know, and I feel like she brought that into the show. So that was beautiful. That was a nice touch. Like, actors are always not so decked up. I feel like that's another myth that they were trying to bust. And I think they were successful at it. Number three, sorry, and this is my last. And I did like some of the references they were trying to make. The superfan, stalker, the Yash Chopra Dar references. Mm-hmm. Kind of worked for me. I know they're not going to work in this decade, though. Gen Z is canceled. That they're going to be canceled, bitch. No. The Shriek Devi references, the conspiracy, even though I'm not a fan of that whole conspiracy, how it goes on and how people feed into that, I feel like it was not nice, but I feel like, okay, an homage for you to try to inculcate that into this show. Sorry.
Do you think it was like an homage, like a
kind of like an homage, but then again, you're having, you know, Sridevi and Madhuri were two rival superstars, right? I'm not going to get into that too much, but so why are you having one play the other? You know, then it doesn't become meta; it just becomes very mishmash of things, you know. But then again, I thought it was nice. I saw Shri and her life like flash in some of the scenes, and it got me. It did get me. Some other references too. I liked how it was very pro-gay, very pro-LGBT. There are numerous characters who are very proudly out and about, and then they show you the journey of like this kid who is struggling to accept his sexuality, has one parent who's very accepting, one who is not, which is, I feel like that's every other queer person's story coming from India, right? That was nice. So, you know, we have addition of this in the universe of like the queer characters queer Netflix characters, we have another addition from the show. So that I liked. Yeah, it's just like all over in general. It was watchable. It was bingeable. I think I watched it in one weekend and I enjoyed it. And the song, of course, I'll leave that in the end. I loved the song. I was glad to have it. I'm sorry. Well, I've been deprived.
I don't have anything else to say. I think he covered it.
Was that it? Oh, no. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry. But yeah, just it was nicely tied with the Batamira, which I've been listening to still. I love that song. I love all the cameos they're doing with it. Great promo.
Yeah, I'm... So, really, nothing else to add, Rim? Like, you didn't like anything else? Probably covered everything for you?
I mean, there are a couple of things. I just think, like, Manav is usually in films for being like a more of a simplistic man. Like, they don't give him necessarily this like star power quality. So I think it was really interesting to see him being known as a common man, kind of like a Pankaj Tripathi, but like emerging into like the star figure, kind of like Shah Rukh in a way, like, you know, the demeanor. Yeah.
Hey, listen, not to cut you off, but I want to add this soundbite. He is quite the MILF magnet. He's been in all these shows where he's working alongside all these MILFs of Bollywood, and I love that for him.
Tumhari Sulu, Vidya Balan.
Vidya Balan, or Shivali Shah.
The one he did with that anthology.
And then there's another one. He's doing something else too, which I can't think of. But yeah, he's in that show
different,
too.
You know? So it was good to see that he's not being just pigeonholed into like this one type of character, right? So it was nice to see. I think acting was like pretty on point. I didn't have really that many issues with anyone's acting, so good for that. Or else sometimes when the script isn't there and the acting isn't there, oh boy, I'm like, why am I wasting my time? At that point, I just skip it, or I just let go of it completely. But so that I enjoyed. What else did I enjoy? The outfits, they were something to look forward to for sure, you know. Going to award shows and like it's just such a mothery thing, like, you know. I know that she has her own production house, so I wonder, like, does she partner with Dharma on this type of stuff, or like, you know, does she let Dharma entirely produce it? So, or does she mainly, maybe she does like just like Marathi films, because I know like she had some Marathi films come under her banner too. I don't know if you remember from like Bucket, what was it called? Something Bucket, but
it was called the Bucket List.
Bucket List, yeah, that was the Marathi. Yeah, I think Marathi, it was under her banner. Yeah. So I'm just kind of curious to see more type of content that she has out. You know, she's the star and she brings the star quality in this show. So good to see.
Yeah, I would just tail to that and say I'm excited for Madhuri in this space. What I forgot to mention, I did feel this. I was like, wow, this is a humongous star who is now in this streaming show, and you feel it. I think I tweeted about it too. You do feel the star presence that I'm not going to say the actors these days are lacking. I just feel like acting in general has become like the starism is all gone. It's either a dime a dozen. So I was excited to see that too. Just a huge star take on the streaming show and then just helm it. I was very here for it.
Well, I was going to ask, what do you think a star means? And I know that'll be like another podcast on its own.
What do you think?
I don't know if we have time, Rim.
For that, you can tune into WB Pod episode 4, where we're going to talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
I'll tell you all about it. I'll tell you what a star means. All the stars and...
You're 3 episodes in, and that was a better segue than I've done in the last 50 episodes of this podcast. That was like masterclass level of segueing and promotion right there.
We love that.
I've been learning.
So no, that's honestly, like, you guys pretty much covered everything. Anything else I have to add is just gonna be more nitpicks that I'm just gonna run through my list of complaints, which I feel like we've sort of beat that to death in the show. So I will refrain from that. I agree with you. There is definitely a star quality to Madhuri, which to me is like in a bubble, right? Like in this show, it's like Madhuri is Madhuri. Like there's no questioning her skill, her talent, her range, her look, her vibe. I just wish everyone else sort of rose...
matched up to her level.
Yeah, that everyone else was elevated to come meet her at that level. Like, she's all alone up here, you know what I mean? Everyone else is, like, down here. And so I wish someone just came a little bit halfway. Do you think, my last question, because I know what my answer is, I want to ask you, do you think this was worthy of a Madhuri sort of streaming debut? It's a yes or no. Like, you can expand if you want, but I personally don't. I think she deserved a lot better.
I agree with that. I agree to disagree. I feel like, yes, she does. But then again, Shah, I think what we are forgetting is people who were Madhuri fans back in the day and people who grew up with her enjoy that kind of content. And I, for some reason, that makes me think this was an intentional choice. Some of the production and the show, it was very safe. And they were trying to give you like a Madhuri show, more like, you know, nostalgia is so overdone these days. I feel like it was more like, hey, are you a Madhuri fan? Here's a trip down the memory lane.
Well,
you know,
I'll push back a little bit to you because my wife is a Madhuri fan. She got into dance because of literally Madhuri. Like, she was so inspired at a young age. And I told her about the show, and she saw the trailer for the show. She saw like a couple of scenes from like an episode, and she's like, I don't care.
No,
I'm like, but it's Madhuri, and she's like, I'm not. I don't know what this is.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh.
So they could not reach the target audience.
I mean, it's awesome. I think it has to be like honestly, when I thought Madhuri and streaming, I'm thinking of the Indian streaming landscape right now, right? Where they're pushing boundaries. They're pushing the envelope so much. They're doing things that like you can't do in mainstream Bollywood theatrical releases, right? I keep coming back to like a show like Made in Heaven, which which served so much.
Or Arya. Crazy shit. Arya season
Arya,
one.
Which is with, like all these amazing shows that are giving these leading ladies from back in the day like a second, like Ravinathan Aranyak was like amazing. Like, I was so impressed at her doing this. Rubina was never like, you know, prestige actress, right? But when she comes back with this streaming show, and I'm just like, holy shit, she's amazing. Like, she's like critically, like author backed, amazing. That's what I wanted Madhuri to have. And unfortunately, her comeback to films with Aja Nachle didn't do anything. The less said about Galang.
I loved it, but
critically, Aja Nachle did nothing for her, right? Aja Nachle to me is like the comeback of Madhuri that I wanted with streaming. Like, the songs of Ajahn Ashley, the performances, amazing. Like, I love that movie, but, like, no one else did. And now with, you know, the less said about Kalank, the better. But with streaming, I thought this is the thing, right? Streaming is where we have zero restrictions. You can, you know, it's a creator's medium. It's content-driven.
Yeah.
Someone is going to serve up Madhuri that we've been wanting to see for, like, the last, you know, decade since her absence or more. I feel like we didn't get that. Like, she did great.
Do you think it's because it's backed by Dharma? Like, you know, sometimes a few of the studios, they feel a lot more comfortable, you know,
pushing the
going into that realm, right? Pushing the boundaries. But I don't know if Dharma, you know, I don't know how many, you know, I think they're still just starting out, you know?
Maybe you're right. I mean, I feel like, if this was like Excel,
Dharma is kind of running out of ideas.
We would have gotten
too.
Something special.
Maybe.
I don't know.
If this was Excel, you would get the show 4 years after it was announced. She takes forever. I have a bone to pick with her. Made in Heaven season 2. How long have we been waiting?
That's true. So, yeah.
Again.
So Excel did come out with another show recently.
Not her defending them. Okay.
No, but it wasn't very good. Eternally. It's not like super amazing. So I was kind of surprised because actually, no one's talking about it online as well. So it didn't get buzz. It's by Excel, but yeah, of course, Tiger Baby though. I think, you know, they definitely have content. You know,
I mean, Inside Edge was Excel. Was Breathe Excel too? On Prime.
I'm not sure. I know Clean Slate is pretty good. I think Clean Slate is like the epitome, I feel, of streaming. Like, they know exactly
Anushka?
What
they're doing. I loved her show. I know you were a Patal Lok stan, but I'm a Bulbul stan. I know.
I love Bulbul.
Anything that production company does, I'll watch.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of like a little amazing. She like isn't, you know, involved anymore in the creative process.
She's done. Yeah.
I was like, I know she's a new mama, so she needs her space. So
yeah.
She should come back.
Which just brings back me, it brings me back to say, Shah, it's, I feel like a show like this, the actor has to agree with that. And I feel like a lot of what Madhuri's image and her persona is that the song and dance musical kind of theatrical star, huge superstar. And I feel like this was the undertaking that she wanted to sign on with her streaming debut. I just can't help but think this was an intentional choice because the scripts are there. If she wanted something more nuanced, more serious, more gritty, it's there for her to take. She can produce that stuff now. She has power within the industry to do that. But I feel like there's a rhyme and reason to her doing this show. But yeah, is it worthy of her talent? Maybe not. But then again, if there was another star attached to this movie, to this show, maybe let's say like Kajol, I would not care so much. And I don't feel like people would either.
You know what, I would agree with you that Madhuri's brand is that maybe she didn't want to go too dark and too gritty. But at the same time, we got Gulab Gang and Der Ishqia from Madhuri as well. So,
but those did people really tune into Gulab Gang, right? Yeah.
Like, no, I know. I'm just saying, I don't think she's adverse to taking risks like that. Because Der Ishqia was amazing.
Quite a queer character in mainstream. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mainstream.
Maybe mainstream wise, it didn't get sort of the eyes that we wanted it to get. Gulab Gang, I know, definitely not at all. That was like some C grade movie. But again, she was like a badass in it. But I feel like maybe you're right. Maybe it was like a Madhuri choice to go something safe, something recognizable instead of going really
something
left
people
field
would
want to
see
like
her
dark.
In.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah,
that's fair. I can see that.
I think the role was written around her. I mean, even though the story was like for someone else, or maybe it would kind of represent someone else, it was like written for her, right? Like,
that's fair.
Yeah. So,
all right, guys. Any parting thoughts? Any final thoughts about the Fame Game, the worst title ever?
wait, why was it changed from Finding Inamica?
I think because Inventinana was coming out, and then there's another show with the same title. So, like, something was going on in the Netflix.
I like that too. Yeah, that's good. I think it was so on my Twitter, it's Kayfil, who is a fellow former podcaster. She mentioned that the Fame Game would have been a great name for Inventing Anna. Whereas Anna. Finding Inamica would have been the perfect name for this show because Inventing Anna was more about what you can do by misusing and wielding the power of fame versus this show. So I think she had a really good
point. Versus it, yeah, I agree with that. Well, parting thoughts on the Fame Game, I would say go watch if you need like a lazy weekend. If you're going to be lateral, watch it. There's some music.
Like, no,
there's some pretty people. There's Madhuri. Come on,
go watch Aja Nasri again. Honestly, go watch Der Ishqia again.
I feel like.
Go watch Gulab Gang if you're really Madhuri starved.
Well, for that, they have to know about those movies.
I just told them. They know. Hey, if Bollywood's listening, they just heard it. So, I mean, listen, I would even say if you're really starved for Madhuri content, listen, just fast forward to the Madhuri scenes of Kalank out of context. Great. Brilliant. Lovely. You know, in the larger movie,
but
if you just want Madhuri fucking like being Madhuri, those are great scenes. Or do what I do with my kids. Watch Dil to Pagal Hai again. Fuck. Like, go way back, you know?
Yeah.
Rib, any parting thoughts? Sorry, Pryly, were you not done? I apologize.
No, I just wanted to say that. So go watch it and then come back to Jubby Pod. And come back to Split Screen first. To listen to us talk about it again, and then go back to Jubby Pod and subscribe.
Yes, subscribe.
I think
it's been kind of great to discuss Fame Game overall. Seems like some of you know we have similar thoughts in certain ways, and you know it's fun kind of talking through this. I think a three-person interaction makes it all the more interesting, and like we have so many thoughts and laughs, and there's never like a moment of silence, right? So it's been really fun being on this pod today. Thanks for having
us. Yes, let me be gracious, take a cue from my co-host, and just thank you. And we're so grateful to be invited.
Thank you, guys. Like I said, this is. Like, my show runs on guests. Like, if you guys don't come, it's literally me talking for, like, 40 minutes, getting angry about shit.
We'll be on. Don't even worry. Yeah.
I still right, listen, by the way. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Oh, so you're the one of three people. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, I'm the one. I'm the number one.
All right, guys. Let everyone know where they can get a hold of Jobwee Pod, where they can subscribe, where they can get a hold of you guys on social media to sort of continue these conversations.
So our Twitter handle is at Jobwee Pod. On Spotify, same name. Audioboom, I think we have an account. And then we put out the recordings on YouTube as well. Just search Jobwee Pod and you'll find us. If not, if you cannot find us anywhere, just look me up or look Remjim up at Pryly K West.
We're on a lot of platforms. Jobwee Pod is spelled JABWEPOD. Simple. Super mm-hmm. simple.
Spell it out for the girls.
For you, Pryly.
For me.
And Remjim, where can everyone get a hold of you on social media if they want to?
Yeah. Find me on Twitter at Remjim Gide Savan.
Nice.
No, not you changing your name. Very fan game of you. What's next? Do you pretend to get kidnapped and go into hiding, Remjim?
Oh my god.
I mean, I'd watch that. I'd watch that over season two of this thing.
For me to find you out and then sleep with your stalker, that's a show in the making. That is what's
oh my goodness.
I called it.
The stalker that we never hear from again, by the way. All right.
Uh-oh, I need to turn on my location.
All right, guys. So thank you so much for joining me once again. I appreciate the time. I know this was sort of like a mission to sort of schedule and everything else. So I appreciate you guys coming on here. Thank you for making the Split Screen Podcast, you know, great again. No, that's not good. We should end on that. Guys, thank you once again. Jobwee Pod, anywhere you get your podcasts, check them out. They're doing great things. Thank you for listening to this episode of a very spoiler-filled review of The Fame Game on the Spiskin Podcast. If you liked what you heard and interested in hearing more of my Bollywood thoughts, subscribe to the show, Apple Podcasts, anywhere else you find your podcasts. I'm literally everywhere. Leave me a 5-star rating and review. I need validation. I crave it. Please help me out. And I've been your host for today. My name is Shah Shaheed. And when it comes to finding Shah on social media, you can do so on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, at The Shah Shaheed. Thank you, Pryly. Thank you, Grim. And thank you, everyone, for listening.